Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Terry and James here with you at 9:04 on the clock. We're going to have some fun this morning. And in this hour, we're going to get into some Betty Wright stories, good stories of the day, and we'll touch on some entertainment news to kick things off. We'll wrap up catching up with our United Way and talking about Civic Media's $1 million advertising giveaway. All that stuff coming up for you. Got an interesting one to kind of, this is a couple of interesting entertainment stories, and then we'll get to one to kind of wrap it up. But I saw this the other day, Terry, and thought it was interesting. Do you know who Lainey Wilson is?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a little familiar with her. Newer artist, isn't she?
Yeah.
Okay, newish artist.
Yeah, newish.
Well, when you picture Lainey Wilson, is she wearing bell bottoms?
Always.
Oh, okay. If so, mission accomplished. It was about 6 years ago when she decided to make that her signature look, and it definitely paid off. She tells Variety, quote, "I was really trying to figure out what could I do to stand apart from the rest of the females in Nashville, because it's very important to do that, and what is something that is really true to me. For me, it was the bell-bottom throwback look. 2016 is when I decided, all right, I'm going to do this. I need to wear bell bottoms and I need to wear my vintage shirts and stuff like that daily. A year later, she got her first publishing deal. But she did raise eyebrows in Louisiana. Quote, people back home were like, why are you wearing those britches? But I didn't let it stop me. I said, no, I'm going to stand out even if it makes me look goofy for a minute. There was another part of this too that I thought was interesting, because where she's talking about this, there was a rise of pop country, and a lot of pop country female singers, kind of being a lot very similar to pop singers just in general, and it being a little bit more about appearance than music. Now the difference, one of the differences that makes Nashville, makes country music stand out, is it's always, at least to me, again, an outsider looking in, it's always been the almost the opposite. The music comes first, the image is second.
Sure. I would think that that's true.
I feel like, again, yeah, outsider here, but yep, to me, that is one of the things I've always respected about country music, is that, is you can be somebody who is not typically, you know, handsome or beautiful, whatever, but you can be a star in country if you got a voice, if you're true to the music. And it is one of those styles of music too, where you can have a really incredible, successful career, just be a niche artist. Just, you got this one group of people that really love your music, and that's what you do, and you're huge. But maybe you're not huge to the masses, but you're doing well. You're making a good living. I think some of the second tier country stars are very that, you know, when I think of them. You got your Clint Blacks and your Randy Travises and these big names, and then you got like that kind of second tier of artists that just seem to keep doing their thing and making millions doing it, you know, just doing just fine.
Yeah, for sure. I do notice that about her though. She does have that, you know, wear the bell bottoms and stuff, and it's she's cute. It's a cute look, and you know, hey, good on her. That, I think it's kind of cute that she was thinking. And I like how she references her hometown. You know what I mean? What, yeah, people are saying at, yeah, her hometown. Yeah. Like, wait, are you crazy? You know, kind of thing.
Oh, I've never seen her before. Yeah, yeah. Oh, she's got like a Stevie Nicks look going.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. She's very pretty. I like that she went this route and not, oh, what's the top with the, that shows the most skin, or, right, you know, or that kind of thing. She almost went the opposite route here, because I think that that's kind of cool. That's empowering, it seems like. That's interesting. Let's see here. I did want to touch on this one because there's a handful of things that we are known for here at WFHR. We cover. We cover local sports, local news, local information, and Dolly Parton. This is what we do around here. Dolly Parton is turning 77 next Thursday, and the Grand Ole Opry is celebrating with a multi-day event, which will run all weekend. There will be a larger-than-life 77th birthday card for fans to sign at the Ryman.
Oh, that's cool.
77 hours of Dolly giveaways on the Opry social media, and more. You can go ahead and keep up to date on the Grand Ole Opry's Instagram page to find out more. But it does look like CMT is going all out for Dolly.
That's a great idea. I wonder if she'll be there on her,
yeah,
birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably not. Maybe she has other plans on her birthday. But yeah, that's really cool.
It feels like if she was going to be there, that would be the headline. you know, Dolly Parton at the Grand Ole Opry.
Are they
going
to, like, sneak her in?
Maybe. That'd be cool.
I don't know.
I guess maybe it would. Well, I mean, it's not like it would be the first time she was there, so maybe that wouldn't be a headline. Maybe it'd be more of a headline if it was a surprise.
Yeah,
you're right. Huh. Because she's been there. I mean, that's...
Oh, sure. But that is interesting. But that's a cool idea, the big birthday card. And
yeah, it's a sweet idea. And I mean, I don't know. I think that we may have learned some things with the passing of Betty White, you know, that we think we appreciate these people. We think we celebrate them quite a bit and we do a good job of it. And then they pass and we're like, oh,
we could have done it. Yeah.
It seems like it does feel a little bit of that. I remember when I was a kid and George Burns passed away, and it felt a little similar. A tiny bit, not the same, but it felt a little similar of like so many people just kind of, I don't want to say took it for granted, but George Burns, you know, he's alive. He's celebrating 100 years old, of course. You know, George Burns is always going to be alive. Like, you know, but when he passed, it was like, oh, we lost one there. Here's an interesting list, and it's loose entertainment. If you want to...
That's what we're good at here, loose entertainment.
Yes, very much. It's kind of our wheelhouse. If you want to seem old and lame, break out the old air guitar. Gen Zers just voted in the least cool hand gestures in 2023. 2,000 people between 18 and 29 were polled, and here are the lamest hand gestures according to young people. And I'm going to get this out of the way right now. I'm guilty of some of these.
This is awesome. I love this.
Mm. Air guitar, as I said, 38% said it's cringeworthy to see people playing air guitar.
Does playing like your leg as a guitar count?
Good question. I need to know the follow-up.
Because it's not really an air guitar.
Because I don't know the last time I necessarily played air guitar, but every time I hear a song that has a great like guitar I love in it, I'm playing on my leg or something like that.
So, yes. I mean...
Yeah, I refuse to stop doing that. I care less if it's cool or not. I continue to do this, and I will not stop. Double thumbs up, 30% for double thumbs up. I kind of agree with that one, but I'm going to be hypocritical a little bit later. But I little bit of agree with that one, just because I've never seen somebody do it, and it wasn't sarcastic. Every time I see somebody, like, thumbs up is one thing, but the double thumbs up, it's always been sarcastic.
Or they're like really obnoxiously like enthusiastic. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just seems too fake or something like that. Writing a check mark in the air at a restaurant to indicate you want the bill. 29% think it's lame.
Oh, people do that?
I've never seen somebody do that in real life. In movies, I've seen people do it. I've never seen somebody do it in real life. I have heard people go, garçon, you know, like they think that they're fancy because they know a word or something, but it's not actually correct because it's a woman.
And they're not, they're not even doing it right.
Pinky up while drinking coffee or tea like you're fancy. 28% of people said that one. I've, again, never seen somebody legitimately like do that outside of a movie or a TV show.
I'm thinking that maybe I have, but again, is it sarcastic? Like, is it just goofing around sarcastic, or is that actually how they drink?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Double okay signs with both hands. Definitely have never seen that. Who's doing, like, unless you're doing the whole glasses thing.
Yes, the glasses thing.
The glasses thing, we flip the hands up or whatever. But otherwise, who's doing two okays?
I have no idea. I'd rather see two thumbs up than two okays.
Yeah,
that's strange.
That is. Saluting, 21% say this. Now, unless, of course, you were in the armed forces, that is a different story. But they're saying that it's people who are not in the armed services, saluting is lame. That's interesting because, again, you know, being partially raised by a couple of Marines, I was always told, no, Jimmy, you don't salute. You are not a service member. Only service members can salute. So really, none of us should be doing this outside of the course service members. You may think you're being respectful. You see somebody in fatigues or something like that, and you want to salute them. I don't begrudge you the instinct to want to do that. But really, one of the more respectful things you can do is, of course, thanking them or just saying hello. Just making eye contact is certainly a nice thing too.
But like, if you are saluting me, you're being a smart aleck, right?
Like you're like, yeah. And that I think is a little more.
I think that's probably
about.
More here. Yeah.
I don't begrudge that one. Yeah. Punching your fist into your palm to show you mean business.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Depends who you do it to.
Yes. I will say this. If my father does it, not lame to me.
That's what
not
I was lame. Just going to yep, say. Yep. If you're a parent, it's like...
Pretty much anybody else. Yeah, yeah, I agree. It does like, seem like, oh,
whatever.
Lame. But my dad, he does it. I still, like, even at my age, I'm like, okay, dad means business now. We're just getting serious. Jimmy, I'm telling you. Listen to me, Jimmy. Fist pumps, 19%. I don't care. I'm going to always do them. I'm always going to do fist pumps. I don't care. 19% of people say that's lame.
You know what I think is funny, though? When you see, like, I don't know, like, some big dude, like, 6-year-old dude, you know, like, just walks out of the gym.
Yeah.
Like, fist bumping everybody. Yeah, I'm just like, yes.
Fist bumps, plus, fist bump is a lot like, didn't we learn anything over the last couple of years? I mean, fist bumping is a lot like less germs and all that than... Yeah. It's actually a lot safer than handshake. I like hand.
I am a handshaker, though.
Same here. Yes. And I prefer. I'm old school. I prefer a handshake.
Yes.
I think you can tell so much about a person in a handshake. You can't in a fist bump. But I do like a fist bump is a little bit safer as far as some of that stuff goes. Boy, this one. It's interesting. These last two. One of them I'm a hypocrite on, and one of them would have been my number one. Raising one finger to get people to stop talking. There's not a quicker way for you to lose that finger than to do that to me. Go ahead and try. See what happens.
Wait, stretch your arm out. I just want to see if you could reach my finger. Oh, yeah. I just want to know if you actually had to move to grab it or if you could reach.
That one, I think that one can be a little more instinctual. Especially if your parent did this, chances are you as a parent do it, you know. And some of this stuff is so, like, just organic. We're not thinking about it when we do it. We just do it. I've never thought about, hey, I'm going to give somebody a thumbs up. I just do it. Like, I've never thought about doing it once.
It's kind of like shushing, right? Yeah. You know, sometimes if you're just like, shh.
I've heard plenty of people that have respect for each other tell the other person, oh, shut up. You know, like that. Like, you know, they don't really mean to shut up, but they're telling them because it's just instinct. It's what
they
say.
Or getting them to step off. You know, maybe they're really passionate about something that they're talking about. It's like just kind of getting their attention to get them to snap out of it a little bit.
And number 10 on the list, and I'm the one I'm most guilty of, the single thumbs up. 19% of Gen Zers say that is lame.
Why do they care?
Yeah. I mean, really. And what are you doing? What are your signals to tell somebody something's okay or you're good with something?
That's lit.
Yeah. What is your hand gesture? You know, I mean, what hand gestures are lame now? I do have to say, I got to call us out on something, Terry, because again, this was put together by a poll of people from 18 to 29.
Not us.
So I think that's kind of funny. You and I go through that.
Right?
That's fun.
We'll tell them what's right about their list.
We'll make sure they get this correct for all you. And to wrap up our entertainment segment, I got to talk about this Civ Media $1 million advertising giveaway, Terry. This is exciting. This is fun. It's one of the coolest things I have ever been a part of in radio. We are here at Civic Media. We are so proud and thankful of the growth we've had as a company. But what I'm really talking about is you guys. We're not growing this big if it isn't for our listeners and, you know, just as important, our advertisers. The lifeblood of radio, from the very first broadcast that was made to the last one that'll ever be made, is advertising. You like it, you don't like it, it's here or there. It's the lifeblood of radio. It's how we survive. There's an old school thing in radio. You want us to put your commercials on the air? How about we do this? We'll put so many odd hours of commercial on the air, and then you do this. We do a trade. It's what so many young radio stations had to get their start doing in order to get the ball rolling and to bring in other advertisers and that. Many longtime radio stations are gone now. They're just gone. Either they were bought up by a conglomerate and they put a bunch of propaganda on their station or what have you. Most radio stations are not owned in town anymore. Like a station like ours or something. There's other radio stations in the central Wisconsin area that almost none of them are owned by Wisconsin companies. We are a Wisconsin company. We are born and raised in this state. Civic Media, we're proud of that. We're proud of supporting our local businesses. We look out for our local businesses. We don't just say support local as just a tagline or a hashtag. This means something to this company. It's part of the reason I'm still here, to be blunt with the audience, is because they believe it and I believe in what they're doing. And, well, it's great to talk a good game, but you got to put your money where your mouth is.
Were you pointing when you said that?
Did I point? Why is that? That's hilarious.
Sorry, I'm just observing.
That's good. That's good. That's
no
good.
Double thumbs up, people. Just a point.
I didn't do that, at least. At least I didn't do that. We want you to be a part of this, and that is why we are doing this, the Civic Media Million Dollar Giveaway. This is your chance to work with Civic Media sales team to create a radio advertising campaign promoting your business across our networks. There are a couple of tiers to this. We want you to be a part of it. You can find out more by going to civicmedia.us/million. Also, keep up to date on everything, following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to let everyone know you heard about the Million Dollar Advertising Giveaway right here on the morning show at WFHR. A little bit of bragging rights involved there.
Yeah, wouldn't it be awesome if some businesses from our area won some of this?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Let's show them what WFHR listenership is, how great our listenership is, how vast it is. Get in on this, everybody. Be listening. Mark your calendars. Thursday, January 26th, 9 a.m. We'll start this off. We'll kick this off online. And be sure to bookmark the webpage, civicmedia.us/million. And that media, that webpage, civicmedia.us, that's where you can find all of our podcasts, our streaming. We're all there, every one of our radio stations. There is literally no excuse to ever miss us again. We're streaming, we're on the radio,
and
we're on FM, we're
really
on AM,
cool.
We're a podcast. Yeah, and we are pretty darn cool. Yeah, yeah. We want you to be a part of this, everybody. Again, mark your calendar Thursday, January 26th, and be sure to follow Civic Media, download the Civic Media app, and keep up to date on all the things going on here. It's a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to talking more and more about this as we go along. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Terry and James hanging out with you at 9:23 on the clock. Is this a legitimate way to go through life, or does it just kind of show some privilege? A new term called lucky girl syndrome has been trending. It's when you assume everything will work out in your favor, and people claim it somehow causes good things to come your way.
I've never heard of this.
Never heard of it. Some influencer did a TikTok video on it last month, then another one or two by two girls eating noodles in a car went even more viral. The general idea is that good things will happen if you tell yourself everything always works out for you, and that in some mythical way, the deck is stacked in your favor. But the key is you have to really start believing it's true.
But, you know, in general, having a positive outlook and a positive attitude does contribute to how things happen for you, because it helps with how you approach situations, right? Why a TikTok of people eating noodles goes viral?
I don't know. I don't know if I even want to know, like, why it would
well,
go.
Like, why is that a thing?
Yeah. Someone pointed out it's just a rehashing of something called the law of assumption that a guy came up with back in the 60s. If you assume something's true, it eventually manifests itself and becomes reality. It's also similar to the law of attraction made famous by The Secret in 2006. Wasn't that like a book like everybody had?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people aren't fans, though. They say it's just delusional and a form of toxic positivity.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Toxic positivity, that's a term now?
Thank you. We should fist bump on that
one. Yeah, yeah. What the what, man? All right.
That's weird.
Yeah. I learned when I was, when I first started living out here, that I seemed to, everywhere I went and I walked, I always had my fists clenched, especially if I was outside. I was always walking around with my fists clenched. And my best friend at the time, Craig, he's like, why do you do that and stuff? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess
I need to punch you quick.
Well, I'm always ready for a fight. Where I was from, that's the way you had to live. You were always looking over your shoulder. I spent the majority of the beginning, the first years of my life that way. So I move out here and I don't have to live that way anymore. But I'm still stuck in that mode. I start just slowly loosening up and walking around without my... I would actually walk around with a ball in my hand, like a basketball or football or something, just so I was not clenching my hands.
Sure.
And sure enough, I stopped doing that. And then all of a sudden I started actually making friends. And I started actually having some more fun and learning what it was like to be a kid and all these things. It took a long time to get to that point. I was junior high by the time I was at that stage. But there is a lot to this, I think, about the way that you approach life, the way that you look at life.
Oh, sure.
Now, I think that there's a big catch here for me in this where this seems to be more like, I'm going to approach every day, I'm going to start the day, and everything's going to work out for me. That I don't know how I feel about.
Well, no, you got to put in some work, right? I mean, there's some personal responsibility, but I don't really like their toxic positivity phrase.
I don't. I've never heard any of these terms before. So one, I'm not cool. I'm way out of date. But also,
newsflash.
Yeah. But toxic positivity is the belief that no matter how dire or difficult a situation is, people should maintain a positive mindset, and that's negative.
Like, that's what I mean. I disagree with that. That doesn't align with my mindset. So
yeah. Just Googling it, this is a toxic positivity or positive toxicity is a dysfunctional emotional management without the full acknowledgement of negative emotions, particularly anger and sadness. Now, if you are ignoring other feelings or whatever, I guess that could be, you don't want to bury anything. I think that's certainly dangerous. We've got generations of that. But I don't feel like that's
what I guess I kind of think about it as the, let's simplify it even more, like glass half full, glass half empty, right?
Yeah,
and I do know today is cynic day, so today go ahead, do what you want, but but I just think in general, but I don't know, things aren't, you have to put in the work, and things aren't just going to happen for you because you believe they're going to happen. But I don't know, I think there's more value in a positive mindset than there is, and if you have to spin it, or if TikTok is spinning it this way that great things will happen, fine, but I just think that there is something to be said, and there's an importance of just having a positive attitude and a positive mindset.
I'm not, I generally really do not like talking about myself. So I don't mean to do that, but I do at times think I'm a great example of, if this works for me, it's hard for me to believe that it wouldn't work for somebody else out there. Because if you knew me in high school, if you knew me in my early 20s, and you knew me now, you would be the first person to say, that man is completely different. Like, something's different about him. I still got plenty of the old mentalities that I do. You can shave a tiger, it's still got stripes on its skin. There's some things that'll never change about me that I would love to. But they're a work in progress, like all of us. Mm-hmm. But the biggest change, the biggest game changer for me was just trying to, I am not going to approach every day and just seeing the negatives and just seeing the downsides in life and everything. I'm going to start working. I'm going to start looking in the mirror and thinking this. I'm going to start doing this. And it took a long time, but it rewired my brain to now this is just where I am. I can't help but look at things and see something positive about them, to find silver linings in literally everything. It gets a little frustrating sometimes, to be honest.
Oh, sure it does.
Because sometimes you do want to just be sad. Sometimes you do just want to feel given to anger in these things. But man, I'm so thankful for this, because back in the day, I would spend days that way.
Yeah, and you don't want that to define you, right? No. Or you don't want that to be what influences all of your decisions. I mean, yes, I think all people go through highs and lows, and people are fragile and, that kind of thing. But just if, like you said, you retrained yourself to think about the positive in things, that has a great impact.
20-year-old me would literally bet $1 billion that would never happen. It never happened. Like 20-year-old me, even me, especially me in high school, but even me in my early 20s, I would never guess that was possible. Oh, that's silly. Or that it really can work. It really can happen for you. But even with that being said, and again, just being honest with the audience here, I still have people tell me, I didn't want to bring this up with you because you're not really approachable, or you seem mean, or something like that. Like, and that's the last thing I want anybody to feel.
I mean,
about
I
me.
Think you seem really mean.
Well, sure, I want you to feel that way, but you're my big sister. You're my it's something that even still to this day I'm working on, and I think that we can all get better about those things. But nobody deserves to be walking around feeling that way.
Yeah.
Any more than I think anybody deserves to be walking around feeling delusional that everything's going to work out for them.
And,
I feel like that's a little...
And if all else fails, make a video of yourself eating noodles.
Apparently, yes. Apparently. On TikTok. Take a break. We'll come back after Melissa's news with some That Ain't Right stories. Good stories of the day. We'll also catch up with our friends at the United Way. All coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Oh, yeah. Now we're talking. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Ooh. 13-year-old Jimmy trying to slow dance with a girl. Maybe like a good 10 feet between us, but I think we're close. I'm putting this on. Some Al B. Sure. By the way, that's that name. Al B. Sure. That's a great name. This song.
Oh my gosh, we're reliving West Junior High over here.
Yes, absolutely. How many dances I went to with this song in my head. I'm going to talk to her today. This is the day I'm going to talk
today
to her.
Today is the day.
Never did talk to that girl. Never did. Not even came close. Don't think she even knew who I was.
Do you remember when we got to have dances, though, in junior high?
Oh, they don't have them anymore?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Mm-mm. Wow. My kids never did.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Part of it was the COVID thing, but before that, Grace was there before COVID, and
Well, I mean, they could still have school dances. Just have the kids line up on one side and the other kids line up on the other side, and that's a kid. That's a junior high school dance. I mean,
pretty much.
Some That Ain't Right stories here. This is interesting too. It kind of takes us a little bit into that world, kind of. Anyone got a worse first kiss story than this? A Turkish model posted photos online after she made out with a guy for the first time, and he bit the tip of her tongue off.
Ew.
What the what, man? Like, well, that's not kissing. That is not kissing. Like, I may not know a ton about this world, but that is not kissing. It's hard to tell if he bit it clean off or was a hurt or whatever.
Why is there a video of it?
Yeah. That part we probably could have lived without. She says she'd known the guy about a month, and it was the first time that they had kissed. It's not clear if she plans on going out on a second date. She's still not sure.
Is he a telemarketer?
She's still not sure. I mean, geez.
So that's, well, you know, maybe she's very forgiving. So, but that is just weird.
Her guess was, apparently he had not been on a ton of dates, he told her. So her guess was he really doesn't know how to kiss or something.
Okay. If
even if you don't know how to kiss.
If ever, when you were thinking about, like, rewind to your junior high dance. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if you're going to kiss somebody, are you thinking about biting them?
No. That's a whole, no. I will admit, when I was really little and you see, like, French kissing on TV, you're like, okay, that looks disgusting.
Yeah, like, that's
why
gross.
Would you ever do something like that? That looks horrible.
Well, yes.
But
and then
you get older and hormones kick in.
Yeah, and that's totally different. But I just, like, do you think I'm going to bite their tongue?
No,
like,
I'm not, that I've never done.
And then do you think, okay, we're going to, like, make out for the first time? Wait, let me just get my, let me just hold my phone up so I can video it while we're doing it. Like,
what was that about? Yeah, I got some follow-up questions on that.
That is just weird.
One. Yeah. Luckily, doctors stitched her back up. She's perfectly fine. Apparently, it couldn't have been too, like, it had to, like, still been there, a piece of it or something.
She's not, like,
a
lipstick model. Didn't you say she was a model?
Yeah, she's a Turkish model. Yeah. So, yeesh. That part right there. Okay. So this happens to you, and you're still thinking about a second date with this person?
I think this is just a attention grab.
Does it feel like, okay, I didn't want to say it, but it does feel a little bit like,
I mean, not
that.
To minimize her tongue getting bit
no,
off.
No, I didn't want to make light of that, but at the same time.
But it is Cynic Day, so we can.
Yeah, that's right. It is Cynic Day. We can go ahead and embrace this. Yes. That kind of segues into this next one about when do you have your first kiss. It's 2023, so maybe we need to loosen up a bit. If you're single, what would you consider the ideal date to unleash the first kiss? Date one, date two, date three? You wait until your wedding day? What's going on? A dating website recently conducted a survey and found that 45% of people, 45%, say that the second date is the perfect time to have the first kiss. 26% say the third date, and 15% say the first date. That said, 68% of singles say that they'd be open to kissing someone on date number one, 80% say that they'd kiss on the second date, and 88% say that they would be open to kissing on the third date. 21% of people said that you should ask someone if you can kiss them before going in for the first kiss. Only 4% said to go in for the kiss without asking, and 75% said it depends on the situation.
Said I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you know, the first date thing, don't you think it kind of depends? Like, if you've known each other and then you're decided, you know what? Yeah, let's
so situational.
Let's go on a date, right?
Yeah.
Versus if you really don't, maybe you knew of the, I don't know. Probably overall, ideally, is probably the second date, huh?
Like so many other things, this is such a case-by-case basis. Yeah. Now, on average, I would say the second date is a pretty good time to do that. The first date, you get to know each other. Why put any added pressure on there of making it physical in any way? Just look at it as you're meeting somebody new and figuring out, is there any chemistry here? Can this work? Second date, maybe you figure some of that stuff out and everything. Right, yeah. But I will say I have had more times than not a first date ending with a kiss.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
I also think that there's, well, let me wrap up the article here. And whenever it happens, keep it under control. 98% stated that the ideal first kiss should be less than 10 seconds. And more specifically, 67% of people say that their first kiss should be between 3 and 5 seconds.
And it should just be a kiss.
It should just be a kiss.
That's the level of physical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I will say, though, just as a kind of a gray area here. I noticed the older you get, like I joked earlier about like settling or whatever. I was kidding about that stuff. But I do think that the older you get, the less you want to waste time. Like, you know, if you're single and you're in your, you know, you're older than 30, 35, chances are you have society beating down on your brain and your life and everything that you're supposed to be married and have the kids and the 2.5 kids and the fence and all this stuff, the white picket fence and all those things. We learn the older we get, if there's any advantage to having bad dates and bad relationships, it's learning what works and what you like. And it's not maybe, hey, this is going good. We have chemistry. All these things are working. Boy, I hope we're physically attracted to each other. And you find out, you know, whether you are or not at the end of the date when you kiss. And you know, hey, if there's sparks, if there's something there, great. If there isn't, then maybe this isn't going to work and I can move on to the next person or whatever. Because I'm single and I'm 45 and I need to, you know,
and scenario. You're not going to prolong, yeah.
I'm not saying even so much for me about this as it is most of the people I know in their late 20s, early 30s. They kind of are at a point where it's like, if you want to be single, you're embracing it. But if you don't want to be single, you're not wasting time. Like, especially the way that a lot of people are with the dating apps nowadays, where it's not about being desperate or lonely. It's about, look, I've exhausted the people in my town, and now I'm going to expand. And I'm looking for real people who are truly want this job. Okay, I don't want people just auditioning. I want people who really want this job, and being specific about it. And like, hey, this is what I want. This is what I'm looking for. Are you going to be able to match the bill?
These are my interests. Yeah, yeah.
I think when you're younger, you are much more freer and much more of like, hey, let's just see if this works.
Yeah, and you don't really think about time. Yeah. Per se, yeah. I agree.
So that one, that comes into play, I think, with the first, second date thing and the first kiss. I think a little bit. If you are older, chances are it's not a big deal to you one way or the other if you do or you don't. But I do like the idea of, I love the idea of if there is a first kiss, this idea that this gentleman's agreement, if you will, if it's 5 to 10 seconds, that's
or it. Even that you're asking.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe and you can ask in different ways, right? Like you can verbalize it, but you can also probably do that through eye contact. You know what I mean? Like you can read someone's vibe versus, you know, they turn around and you're like smacking them on the lips. I like that.
Read the room, read the vibe. If you're uncertain, ask. It's not, chances are it could be charming, you know, and it works out for even more. I had a girl who told me once that she wasn't going to until I asked, and she did because I asked. Like, I don't know, you know, I can't get in her brain or anything like that, but I mean, that's what can happen. Yeah. You just never know. And just for the record, we did have a second date. That was it, though. It was over after that. I don't think that there's, I understand that maybe it isn't as spontaneous or romantic or anything like that to ask to kiss first, but I do think for one in 2023, it's probably pretty a good idea to do that. But also, I think it can be just as charming as they lock eyes and immediately both of them knew that this was going to be their first kiss.
Oh, absolutely.
And they reached in and that, you know, I think every romance is what you make of it. What's romantic to some is going to be very different for others.
But what's romantic to no one is getting your tongue bit off.
Yeah. Nobody in human history has ever been like, and he did the most romantic thing. He gnawed on my tongue. No, that has never happened. Nobody's ever felt that way.
I'm guessing he didn't ask first.
Yeah. No. This guy definitely didn't ask first. This guy's got a lot of things going on that we really need to press him on. I need answers to. I've got a lot of follow-up questions for this person. We'll take a break right here. We will come back, have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you to take you to the top of the hour, where we will kick off we'll kick it off with CBS News, and then we'll get to Morning Magazine. One more for the week, everybody, and it's a good one. We have joining us at about 10:04 today, Wisconsin State Representative Katrina Shankland. She'll be joining us on the phone. Always enjoy talking with Katrina. Looking forward to that. And then in part two, we're going to talk Wisconsin Rapids Polar Plunge 2023. We have Ashley Hansen from the Special Events Manager and Special Olympics Wisconsin joining us.
Nice.
I will take any chance I get to talk to our Special Olympics people. Loving it.
Are you going to get roped into jumping?
One of these days, one of these years, I'll definitely do it. My first remote in radio was when my old GLX days, and Travis had just we had been there, I don't know, a couple months or whatever, and Travis was going to go do the jump. So I'm on the running the board at the station, and Travis goes, does the jump. And the way it is, we play a couple songs, and then he comes back. I talk to Trav. He's all excited. All right, let's go ahead and do this. Go. We're both young in this business and everything. And he goes. And then I play a song. And I play another song. And I play another song. And Travis has not come back yet. And I'm like, what's happened to my best? What's going on? He finally comes back. He had to wait because his teeth were chattering too much. He couldn't talk.
He should have went on.
We didn't know. You know, we were young in the business. Now I'm sure he would go right on. Nothing would slow Travis down. Now.
Yeah, actually, a few years back, he and I were the judges for the Polar Plunge together. Yeah.
Travis, one of the best people you'll ever meet in this business. I'll always back that man. Maybe not his company, but I'm joking. I'm just invested. I did want to let everybody know a sports schedule for the weekend. Tonight on WFHR, 6:30, it's a puck night. U.S. men's hockey, they are going against the U.S. under-18 team in a hockey exhibition game.
Oh, fun.
That is going to be cool. And then our sister station, WIRI, Wiscountry 105.5, home of River King home games. The River Kings are back in town hosting the Dells Ducks tonight and tomorrow night. If you can, please get to the South Oconee Rec Center. Let's show them what home ice advantages. Support our Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. If you can't make it to the rec center, then go ahead and listen to these games right on our sister station, Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. Both today and tomorrow, the puck will drop about 6:59. Our pregame will start. And you got Wisconsin men's hockey on the radio tomorrow at 11 a.m. Wisconsin men's basketball at Indiana. Should be a good one right there. And then on Sunday, Marquette versus Xavier, that'll be at 10:30 a.m. on our sister station, WIRI. We will talk about all of this on Playmakers on Monday. Be sure to join us on Mondays for Playmakers from 10 to 11, getting your sports thoughts and feelings out there.
Is Bob still calling Badger hockey?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
And well, safe travels, Bob, as you head on down there, if you haven't already. So this was an interesting one, Terry, as we get into some good stories of the day, and it comes to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. A shout out to Andy Corbley for the nice reporting. A never-ending treasure hunt in a small New South Wales town has given new lives to thousands of books and new smiles to as many children. In the town of Braidwood, a tradition of hiding children's books in plastic bags in unlikely places has grown out a pandemic tradition of hiding painted rocks.
That's cool.
Hidden in shop windows, among shrubs, in parks, and around town, a child who finds the book can choose either to take it home or add their name to the list of past owners and rehide the book for another kid to find.
So you can read it, right? They could even take it home and read it. And then that's really sweet.
Mom of five, Samantha Dixon, believed that it might be more useful thing than rocks for children after seeing some similar community movements in other countries. It's lovely to watch the little kids' faces when they find the books, and it's just a little bit more magical. I enjoy the fact that these books are being read and are not just being left on the shelves or recycled, and the kids are outside finding them, not on screens.
Yeah, so it puts another cute little twist on even the little free library, right? Like, yes, to have them just kind of hidden around and that kind of thing. That's really cute.
Inside a plastic bag is the book and a sheet that says, "You are the lucky finder of this book. Read it and enjoy it, and then rehide it for someone else to enjoy. Please reuse this bag." And your name inside the cover, add your name inside the cover, and let's see how many you can find.
That's really cute.
This is so darn cool. This is so darn cool. We are passing through with Camp Belt Town and found this while we were waiting for our lunch, wrote a member of the Braidwood Hidden Book Facebook group. Matilda had a flick through had to flick through and rehide it on her way back in the car. Thanks for providing such a fun idea. And hundreds and hundreds of people are doing this, leading comments and everything. One of the sweeter things you're going to hear about today, people. That's such a cool idea. I don't think that they're begrudging the rock thing. I think that the rock thing is still a cool, fun thing to do for kids and just people, just in general.
And it is fun when you see people post them, like the intricate designs and stuff. Yeah.
I think it's this, this is another one. Yes, that's a good way to put it. Layer to it. It's a great story right there. An 82-year-old guy in Canada had just became the oldest person to ever do a headstand. He has a tradition where he does one every year on his birthday. Also, a dog in Germany just broke a world record for skipping rope 32 times in 30 seconds.
Really?
That's pretty cool.
That's interesting.
If you haven't seen this, it's pretty intense. A guy in New Jersey crashed his ATV in the woods last month and was missing for 24 hours. Cops eventually found the ATV and then found him lying in the snow a half a mile away. He was barely alive and had hypothermia, and their chest cam got it all on video. They put their coats on him to warm him up, but one of the cops is a former Marine who knew you're also supposed to get on top of the person and warm them up with your body
heat. With your own body heat, yeah.
The guy ended up making a full recovery.
Very awesome.
Way to go. We appreciate their service. Appreciate that Marine is, also for his service outside of the police force. That story, I watched that video, and even though I watched the video and I knew this
like
story,
you knew it? Yeah.
I was still getting choked up reading this. Yeah. Like, that's, we need more of that. That should be like common knowledge. Everybody should know that story.
That should be the headline everywhere. Yes.
Yeah. Here's someone who never lost their sense of humor. These are my people. A 65-year-old woman in England knew she had a terminal cancer. So before she passed away last fall, she planned her own funeral and hired a flash mob to dance to Queen's song, Another One Bites the Dust, at her funeral.
That's bad.
She planned this.
That's totally bad.
No, this is my, I love it. This is my people. I like it. Her friends say it was very her. It was very, very her, and it actually made them feel like she was still there with them.
That's cool. Look, I
would not say doing, like, anybody should do this or anything like that. You got to, if you're this kind of person.
Well, if it was, I feel like the deceased planning it and doing it is way different than if someone else had planned it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So even if someone didn't like it, like, let's say she had kids and one of the kids didn't like it, it was her call.
Yep.
Versus, you know what I mean? Somebody else making that decision.
I completely agree. If you didn't like it, too bad. It's her funeral.
It was hers.
She gets to go out the
way. But nobody else did it. Yeah. Even if she had a spunky personality, somebody else doing it, I think, would be a little edgy.
Oh, but she loved this song. Like, no, cut the mic. And for his 32nd birthday, a guy in New York asked a 90-year-olds for life advice and posted their 40 best tips on Twitter. Here are some of the hits. Treat your body like a house you have to live in for another 70 years. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm surprised they could give 40.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody asked you right now, what would be your 40 tips to live by? I'd be like, you know, you'd get so far, you'd be like,
you're just rehashing stuff. You're just, didn't you just say that one? No, I didn't word it that way.
I mean, you'd get to the point where you're like, always change the toilet paper roll. Right?
Never raise your voice except at a ball game.
I'd be a work in progress.
Yeah,
on that
me
one,
too.
I think.
Me too. Dance at weddings until your feet are sore.
I like that one.
It's a good one. Yeah. Don't fear sadness. Don't fear sadness as it tends to sit right next to love.
True.
Ooh.
Very true.
Boy, that's good. Do one good deed a day, but never tell anyone. Oh.
Wouldn't it be nice if that was the case?
Yeah. Oh, I like that one. Give everybody a second chance, but never a third. Ooh. Stop trying to change people who don't want to be changed. Yes, you're going to save yourself a lot of time.
That's kind of hard sometimes to get through your head, though,
absolutely.
Right?
Like, absolutely. I think you really got to know if this person really does want to change, or are they just giving you lip service that they want to change? That's tough to call. That's hard to get inside somebody else's heart and head.
Or you just want it so bad for them.
Yeah.
You know, because whatever. Point. Because of your experience or because you're just wiser in your ways or whatever.
I have run into that many, many times in my life. And I have no good advice of what when a person really believes and when a person doesn't. Allow your kids to fail. You'll hate it, but it's important.
Yes.
That's a very hard thing to do as a parent, but I completely agree.
Yeah. It's easily one of the hardest things for you to do with your kid. It is the equivalent of they are off the training wheels, they're going, and you let them go in that 15 seconds of they're riding that bike, and you don't know if I'm just going to go ahead and hang on a little longer, or no, this is it, this is the moment, I got to let them go, I got to let them do this.
And it's part of parenting, right? Like, you want to see them be successful adults, and if you don't ever give them the tools, which includes failing or stumbling or whatever, then yeah, that is hard though.
I mean, nobody told you it was going to be fair. It was going to work out like the way you wanted it to. This is just the way it works. That's being a parent. And finally, always remind yourself that your track record for making it through bad days is perfect. You've survived every single one of them. Dang, very that's cool. Good. Dang, is that good. And that is how we're going to wrap up our week. Thank you so much for joining us all week long. Everybody, it's been a lot of fun here on The Morning Show. Terry, have a great weekend.
You too.
We'll talk to you soon and later right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.